Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm your host, Grant Turgeon. Last week, the Philadelphia Church of God Ministerial Conference concluded. And this week, I have a guest with me today. He gave the sermon at our Sabbath services here in Edmond over the weekend. He's the Australasia and Africa Regional Director, Mr. Alex Harrison. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Grant. Great pleasure to be here.
Well, it's definitely awesome to have you. And like I just mentioned, that week-long conference, which included about 40 hours of instruction for God's ministry, ended just last week. What are your thoughts on the conference this year?
Well, you know, it's just the most inspiring opportunity that we all had. Certainly, they get some very, very personal direction from Mr. Gerald Flory himself. And he did focus a lot on the urgency of the times. We certainly can see that all happening around us, and the fact that there will be troubled times ahead, certainly in many ways. What Mr. Flory was telling us that, look, we need more godly passion, more deeper thinking about this work, and a focus on building up in the throne of David and building on that. So, when you look at the whole thing, those conferences are just so special and unique, and they build a church. The ministry works together, and in fact, after the conference, the regional directors met for a couple of hours and discussed certain issues that we all privy to, and that again is just a unifying factor. So, overall, I felt that Christ was telling us through His apostle that we're going to push harder because things are moving along, and we're getting closer to the time of this great tribulation that is coming. There is turmoil ahead. But again, the ministry have never been as unified in the 27 years I've been in the Philadelphia Church of God.
And this was the 19th Philadelphia Church of God Ministerial Conference, and 61 of God's ministers attended this year. I say 61 because actually one of your assistants in the Australia Regional Office was ordained a minister at this conference just last Monday at a staff dinner. This is a dinner that we have every time during the conference where all of the headquarters staff members and all of the ministers visiting from out of town and, of course, those who are already here get together for a formal event. And Mr. Callum Wood was ordained a local elder, and you were obviously directly involved in that. Also, there were three other ministers who were raised in rank.
Right.
And I just thought this morning one of them is from New Zealand, as you are, and the other two are from Australia, and you have a lot of experience in that area as well, of course. So what was your feeling seeing all of the ministers ordained or raised in rank like that?
Well, it just reinforces God's government and just more men, I bet, being used by Christ. But, Mr. Callum Wood, because he'd been at the college for 4 years, and he's been down back in Australia for, going on 5 years now. Of course, he came back and got married and has got a beautiful little baby boy. And so he's been working in our administration area for quite some time and going out on visits with one of our other ministers. So he's grown a great deal, and he's going to be a big asset and a big help down there.
Yeah, that was definitely great to see. He's told me some about some of his trips to Papua New Guinea.
Oh, yeah, he sure has.
As part of that job. And obviously it is a varied job, as many of the jobs within the work are. He's also involved in mail processing and some trumpet writing as well. So definitely a busy job that's only going to increase with this new ministerial responsibility.
Well, there's no question about that. And he's right up to it and looking forward to it. And he also, you may not know, he also does answers a lot of our letters from the personal correspondence department. So he's getting a lot of experience there. It's very, very helpful.
that's definitely a really helpful experience. Like I mentioned at the start, you did give the sermon here in Edmond this past Sabbath, and it was about the God of rainbows. Even though the rainbow has been corrupted by society today, God intended this beautiful sign to be proof that he always keeps his promises. Specifically, as you talked about in the sermon, God kept his promise to preserve the church by revealing Malachi's message to Mr. Gerald Flurry. What inspired you to speak about this subject?
Well, you know, the years have gone by since Malachi's message. We first got that back there in the, well, I received a copy. I'll tell you a little bit about that later in the 1990. But, you know, a lot of our young people today, they weren't even born when Malachi's message came on the scene. And we've had quite a lot of people coming to the church since then. So I originally gave that message back in Brisbane in March of this year, and I thought it would be good to give it here at headquarters because it just helps us to remember that God is, that he makes a covenant, he keeps it. And he said, you know, there in Matthew 16, verse 18, he said, you know, I'll build my church and the gates of the grave will not prevail against it. So, you know, in that time of incredible turmoil in the worldwide, you know, changes, there was, you know, there was a time when, you know, everybody that was thinking deeply and had proven the doctrines, they knew that something was going to happen. But what? I mean, what? How did we know that there was a man that God was preparing and he's writing a manuscript which he didn't even understand what it was about. And he didn't know it was a little book of Revelation 10. So, you know, time went by. And then things develop, but, you know, if you got, like Winston Churchill said to us, you know, history teaches us so much. And so I gave that message to show again that God is a God of promise. He keeps his promise. And you go in the scriptures and you'll find out that there's a, he says a lot about rainbows. And he made that promise to Noah. Okay, I won't flood this earth again. And that rainbow is a sign. And so when that messenger came and to tell us about the, you know, the little book, God was keeping his promise. And Malachi's message, I tell you, if you'd been in the church at that time, especially with the seeing all the changes going on, Malachi's message came along. And it was just like like Christ himself coming and say, hey, I'm solving your problems. Don't worry anymore. I'm here. So God really gave us a lot then.
Right, and that book was written in 1989 as the Worldwide Church of God was being led off track by leaders who didn't have the same vision for the church that Herbert W. Armstrong did. He died in 1986, and it just took a couple years, if that, for them to totally destroy everything that was ever built from God through him for many decades. As you mentioned in the sermon, you have quite a few experiences with the Worldwide Church of God falling away. What was that time like for you?
Well, I was a local church elder, and thankfully I was working under a pastor in the, this was in the South Island of New Zealand, and the pastor, he was really upset about these changes. But, you know, the thing was, though, initially, these changes were very, very subtly being introduced, very subtly, and in such an underhanded way. But if you'd proved the doctrines in the church, you knew there's something was wrong. There's something not right here. And of course, we would talk among ourselves as a ministry. And say, well, you know, what's going on here? What's happening? So. little by little, the truth of God, you know, what had been restored to the church by the end time Elijah, Mr. Armstrong, what had been restored was being eroded and challenged. In fact, in one of the pastor general's reports, not long after Mr. Armstrong died, in fact, that the ministry were told that the mystery of the ages and incredible human potential, Book of Revelation unveiled at last, they were considered to be obsolete literature. Could you believe that? Obsolete. I mean, Mystery of the Ages hadn't been long printed and it was obsolete. So that was pretty disturbing.
Right, and you were told that you couldn't speak from Mystery of the Ages, even though that was Mr. Armstrong's greatest book, even though it had just come out in 1985. It would be natural for the ministry to speak about something like that. And our book, Raising the Ruins, which you can find at thetrumpet.com, points out that you were told this, that you couldn't talk about it simply because the book wasn't being printed at the time, when deep down, the new leadership of the church just didn't agree with anything that was in the entire book. They just didn't tell you that for many years.
That's very true. But they were keeping this from the membership as well. And so there's a lot of things going on there. And they won the control headquarters back then in Pasadena. One, the control was being shared by the ministry. And in fact, in 1990, and maybe a lot of people don't understand this either, that headquarters sent out a list of sermon material that you would use and scriptures that you would use, and you weren't allowed to present your own message and allow God to use you, because, I mean, God gives you the message if you're a minister. But you had to give a canned message. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, those ministers were being harnessed, if you like, and controlled that way, and they went along with it, most of them.
And you mentioned before we came on the air that you came into the church 1977, were baptized in 1978. That was actually during another falling away within the church, except for Mr. Armstrong was actually alive during that time to get the church back on track. It must have been a real trial of your faith to see the church go off track again, except for this time Mr. Armstrong was dead and couldn't do anything about it.
Well, that was certainly a test of faith, and there's no question about that. But, you know, if you'd prove the doctrines, and we did. We proved those doctrines, and we knew. I mean, if you got a foundation of truth, and then it's being slowly eroded and chipped away little by little, that's really unsettling. And where do you go? That was the question, because everybody knew it was God's true church, but things were happening and we didn't understand it. But you see, God, all this time, this is the great thing. You look back now and you can just see again, though, even though it was really it was a question of faith. But we had the Bible, we had the Word of God, and we knew the truth of God, and so you had to wait on God. But even, it was rather interesting, because one of my sons was 4 years, or 4 or 5 years old at the time, and when we told him that, you know, we were leaving for the PCG, he even said, "Oh, you naughty daddy," because, you know, everybody knew you don't leave the church. Even their little children knew that.
They said that all the time, didn't
they?
Yeah,
they did. Right. Yeah. But we didn't leave. That's a problem. You know, I mean, that wasn't the issue. We didn't leave.
Right. The people that were in the church actually left the church.
That's right. They fell away.
Exactly. And you said that you received your copy, or I guess another person's copy of Malachi's message, when you were on a construction site in April of 1990. So at the time, you were a local church elder, which means you were a minister in the church, but not employed by the church. So you were at your job, and you got a copy of Malachi's message from another minister there in New Zealand.
Well, that was just probably the most wonderful day in history for me, because, well, what happened was, the man that I'd been working with, the minister I'd been working under, he had been transferred to another area, and he came back for a visit. And in the meantime, he'd received a copy of Malachi's message. That would have been the ones that were being sent out by Mr. Fleury and Mr. Amos right at the beginning here. So he received that, and he'd read it, and he came around to visit me, and he said, hey, Alec, you want to read this? So I said, well, what is it? You know, he said, well, have a look. He said, I've got some business to do. I'll be back in about 3 hours, and I want that book back. And so... thankfully, I was on the site on my own. There was nobody else there. So I looked at it, and I thought, boy, I'm going to look at this. So I sat down, and I started reading it, and I'm reading it pretty rapidly. But it didn't take long to realize that this is a message from Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just becoming clearer as you read through. So when the... when that man in question, when he came back, I didn't want to give that book back.
Yeah, it's too bad you had to speed read it like that. But
I did.
You said even though you had to speed read it, you knew right away that it was the truth. And that's why maybe it wasn't as hard as it might sound all these years later, because even through a speed read, you knew it was the truth. And if people were just awake, they would have noticed it too.
Well, absolutely. See, it's the Spirit that's written by. I mean, the man who wrote it, it was the Spirit of God was guiding it. So it's not written by just a normal man. It's a man that's been used by God. And so it's become very, very clear very quickly.
And you said also that you have met both Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Tkach. What was that like for you?
Well, I think I'm not quite sure of the year now. I think it might have been about 1984. And Mr. Armstrong came down to Australia and New Zealand, and he visited the SEP, or we used to call it a summer education program in the worldwide.
The youth
down
camp there,
and,
right?
In New Zealand, it was on an island, Motutapo Island, which is a couple of hours by a launch off the coast. And he flew out there in a helicopter, and he, you know, one thing, just, I mean, man was getting old. He had a team with him of men, Aaron Dean, a few others. But, you know, he was all dressed up in a nice sports jacket and tie and that. And he got into a little Land Rover that we had, and it was a hilly area. And he went around every little area where the students were and what they were doing. He was watching what they were doing. And then everybody had lunch with Mr. Armstrong. This was a special thing. There were 90 people. And so we set the whole dining room up in a big U shape. And Mr. Armstrong and his entourage, they were sitting at the head. And so all of us, students and staff, had dinner with Mr. Armstrong. That was pretty special. And and then after that, he gave a powerful message for about 2.5 hours. He got up and he spoke to the young people, and it was so personal and so moving and stirring, and that was something that I'll never ever forget, because Mr. Armstrong really truly he gave the young people so much encouragement and tried to help them. And then a few years later, in the same island, Mr. Tkach came out, and. Mr. Koch is going to have to answer for what he did. But, you know, he got there, and he just dressed down straight away into a camp shirt. And then he had all the students. He didn't even go around to see what the campers were doing. He got everybody into a big hall, and they sat down, and he said, "Well, you got any questions?" And that's what he did. He didn't even address the campers. He just asked, and some of those campers, they were asking some questions that, you know, they didn't even know what they were discussing. So he shook everybody's hand, and then he flew off. But well, actually, he didn't fly off. They brought a yacht in so he could sail back.
So quite a big difference between those two trips.
Oh, the contrast was immense, tremendous.
And it's important for our listeners to understand, when Mr. Armstrong went down there in 1984, he would have been 91 or 92, perhaps mostly blind by that time, and yet he spoke for 2.5 hours. It's a pretty incredible example of service there.
Oh, well, you know, one thing you see, I mean, he was an old man. There was no question about that, and he was quite thin, and he wasn't a tall man either. He was quite a short man. But, you know, and I'm sure many, many other people would remember this, who remember Mr. Armstrong in those times, when he got up to speak, God just took over. I mean, he was just a powerhouse. And, of course, he couldn't see very well then. His hearing wasn't all that good. But he was going from memory, and the scripture would just pour out of him. And he would give a message of deep love. And, I mean, you could see the concern he had for everybody.
And so, of course, you had already proved the doctrines of the church while Mr. Armstrong was alive and after as well. But you could even say, in a way, perhaps, that the examples of those two men would have helped you as well. You could see the difference between each man's example as you had to decide where God was working next.
Well, there's no question about that. And, in fact, you know, I know when Mr. Armstrong died in the ministry, we all wanted to support the new man. We all believe that Mr. Koch was God's man. But, you know, quite frankly, it was just disappointing. And it's not that it wasn't a personality thing. It was just a question of, the truth was being trampled down. It just change after change after change. And they've, and one man even said, well, change is what changes. Do you know that back then we, in the Philadelphia Church of God, we started to document the changes. And we didn't have a little book called Doctrinal Changes, and I think we got up to about 60 changes, and we stopped printing it because it was just a complete reverse of what we knew. But what was happening is the men up there, Mr. Koch and a few others, they were taking the church back into Protestantism. That's the bottom line.
Well, yeah, that's right. And the Worldwide Church of God today operates under a completely different name. It's a fraction of the size and impact that it once was. And every doctrine is different. That's why the booklet isn't produced anymore, right? Because it's so obvious now. Back when it was being produced, people didn't maybe see it yet. They didn't know because the changes were in the midst of taking place. Yeah. So you learned pretty quickly that things were off track. And when the PCG started December 7th, 1989, it wasn't long before you also joined.
Well, that's true. In fact, I made a telephone call back in just before December to Mr. Fleury himself, and that's a long story again how I finally got his phone number because I didn't have it. And an American operator in a telephone exchange was so good, and I said, I want to talk to this Mr. Gerald Fleury and Edmond, Oklahoma, and this operator said, well, there's actually only two Flurries in the phone book, and, of course, one was his mom. And so I got to talk to him, and that was just – then I got off that phone, and I quickly called two or three other people in the church and said, hey, I just talked to Mr. Fleury, and we were mighty excited. So I had the privilege of being in Christchurch, New Zealand, and we on the 4th of December 1990 – there's 24 of us met for a Bible study on a Tuesday night. It was a wild, stormy night. I'll never forget it. In fact, on my way home, there was a tree fell across in front of my car, like, something's not right around here. And then on the Sabbath, there was 36 of us. And so, and they were all families that were solid families, and we're here now.
Well, so, that's right. You said there are a couple of those families that are here in Edmond now,
exactly.
at least some of them. So
yes.
The fruits are still there to this day. So for a while there, were you still a local church elder in the Philadelphia Church of God at the start, even though you were giving those Bible studies once a week? You were still working on your other job, right?
Yeah, I was for a whole year.
So that's quite a lot of responsibility to be giving a Bible study every week, a sermon here and there, and to have your other job outside the church on top of that.
I was, and then because another minister was there as well, the regional director, but he was in the North Island, and he was very busy. So I did have a lot of responsibility for a very, very junior minister, and I was, you might say, learning a lot in a hurry. But God was there, though. You see, he was taking care of everything. And regardless of the fact that I was so junior in the ministry, you know, when God's with you, he helps a lot. And, of course, Mr. Fleury was sending out tapes from headquarters, and we were playing them in the local church. And so that was everybody. We just couldn't wait to get that tape each week. And what's going on? And of course, the work was growing, it was progressing, and it was a dynamic time. While it was that commitment, I mean, I've often said that moving from the Worldwide Church of God to the PCG was really a bridge of faith. That's what it came down to, and faith that God was still on His throne and He's taking care of everything. And so that was a very, very exciting time in history. And, of course, there were days when you just said, well, where is God in all this? Mm-hmm. But here we are today because God is he's taking care of His people, and Christ is the head of this church. We've got that line of Judah taking care of us, so it's exciting.
The church has grown tremendously in 28, 29 years, so it is incredible to hear some of this history. I wasn't even alive back during those early days, so it's tremendously valuable to me, and of course a lot of people in the church today who also weren't alive or at least aren't very familiar with it. But you did mention there that you got those tapes once a week from Mr. Fleury.
Right.
Even just looking at that's a pretty stark example of how much we've grown, because that's an epic pace of speaking, and you had to speak at that pace as well when it was smaller. Thankfully, there are more ministers today, and you don't have to speak necessarily every week.
No. Well, you know, we just couldn't wait to get those messages from headquarters, because Christ was reinforcing what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Mr. Fleury, right at the beginning, he didn't even know it was a little book, Malachi's Message, until God revealed that to him. And so that was awesome. In fact, I don't know if you remember, Mr. Fleury actually came to New Zealand in 1991, and he met that group, and that was very exciting for us all. That's a long journey out there in the early days, and the church was a fledgling church, if you like, in that way. And so he was out there, and most of us at that point, we just had an A4, a spiral brown copy of Malachi's Message, and we all wanted him to sign that. So I've still got mine autographed copy right from the back then.
And he just visited that region again last March and April when he went to Australia and the Philippines. Was that his first trip since 1991, or had he been made another time?
No, he'd made another trip since then, too, yes.
Okay, yeah. So the trips have been obviously few and far between, but now the church has a jet, and so it's going to be a lot easier to get out there more often, which is obviously another huge symbol of the growth, too.
Oh, absolutely, and I had the privilege of flying in that plane with him from Sydney right up to Manila, and that's just a magnificent aircraft, but it's a tool. And God has given us a tool. And I'm sure that, everyone would like him to go down there at least once a year, but well, let's see. He's got a big workload. But it is amazing what God has done, because he has raised the ruins.
It is tremendous to see that. Definitely raising the ruins is almost like the tagline of the Philadelphia Church of God.
Oh, yeah.
You see that all the time, especially by going back through this history. Thanks so much for coming on today, Mr. Harrison. Listeners, this has been Behind the Work, and I'm Grant Turgeon. Thank you so much. We'll get back with you next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.